whilst I just feel it's probably appropriate just to start off the share just by mentioning Dan Ento, because after all, I think that the Kehillah as a whole, I mean, I think us who came out from Kehillah, we, you know, have got direct, all of us who learned in the Kehillah had, of course, direct Akaza Toiv, because I think most of us who came from, who learned in the Kehillah can generally say that, genuinely say, including myself, we would never ended up in the Kehillah, we would never end up in Edgeway if not for, and that's definitely a fact. If not for the Kehillah, which is the brainchild of Dan Ehrentoy, and he took the financial burden of it, and we probably wouldn't have been here. We probably wouldn't have been in Edgeware. You know, I know specifically in my case, if not for the Kehillah, I wouldn't have been here. We'd have been in Manchester. it really is. But I think even more generally speaking. So I think that, but I think that perhaps just one particular point that I just wanted, before we proceed and learn more Shulchan Aruch, I think just one point that I think is something which is very, very special about the Dayan. I didn't know him by any account, I didn't know him very well, and I don't want to, you know, I didn't have much relationship at all with him. But one thing which I feel is something which we can take out is the following point. Most of us live our day-to-day basis, whatever we be doing, and we may be doing things very, very good. You know, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, we may be doing things, we get it right and do it well. And often we get to a point that we get to a certain comfort zone. And comfort zone, not in a way that we don't do things properly anymore. No, we do things properly, but it's a comfort zone. That's what we are comfortable doing, that's what we're good at doing, and that's where things stop. And sometimes a person can be operating on that comfort zone for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I think what is very special about the Dayan is that he was a person that clearly lived with a vision. I think the best, and always trying to strive for more and for better, not on a personal basis, but well beyond that, on a Kehillah basis. And I think that I think Edgeware itself is a very good example. I'm not the person that, I don't know what Edgeware was like before the Kehillah, and I'm sure it wasn't, it wasn't like the midpoint and all that sometimes people say, and obviously not. But I think it's, exactly. So I'm sure that, you know, there is an exaggeration in that. But at the same time, it's probably true to say that it made the Kehillah, and that probably did make an impact, I suppose. And that comes from a vision. And that came from a vision, and in a very expensive vision, and a financial, huge financial enterprise, and an operational enterprise, and all that. And that all came from, it was a vision. It was a real vision that he had. And that was, now we look at the schools, we look at the Kehillahs, and they're flourishing, and they're growing. And I think that if we look I think if we have to take something for our today, to take away a midah, then I think it's to live with a vision, and that never stopped until, you know, even, you know, of course the last 2 years he wasn't operating so well anymore, but until literally, you know, 3-4 years ago, he kept on having new ideas and new visions and new projects, you know, Brown Wood, etc., and more ideas and grand ideas. And that could even be when he was in the Beis Din about kashos and other things. Just a person with vision. I think that's something spectacular, and that's something very, very special. And I think if we have to think about a midah, then I think that's perhaps something to think about. Schus Yogen Aleinu. I think I must suppress something. Sorry. Yeah, sorry about that. Don't know what I did. Okay, Rabbi Isai, we're going to be learning a little bit more about Hilchis Kriyas Shema, when Simon Samach Vav, when Tziv Beis, and what I want to learn tonight is the halachas of what happens. This is very relevant now. This is really relevant to this time of year, where a person, well, let's see what it says. Let's see what it says over here. Seif Beis. So that's Simon Samach Vav Seif Beis. Im shochach leniach tzitzis v'tfilin. What happens if somebody forgot to put on tzitzis v'tfilin? Forgot. Suddenly realizes, oh, something is not right here. I've got a couple. Yes, that's good. I'm not in pajamas anymore. That's also good. But something else is not right. And he realized, I didn't put on tzitzis and tefillin. So now, he wants to put them on now. He wants to put on talas and tefillin. Yochel lehafsik ben apokim. He's allowed to stop between the paragraphs in Shema. V'lanichem, and to put on talas and tefillin. Ve'evoich alem, you can even make the bracha. Now, the case of forgetting is not so common. But there's something very similar, which is very common, and that's what we need the Shulchan Aruch for that. It's, it happens to...
Too early.
Winter. Too early, that's it. The winter. Us Northern Europeans living in those sides of the continent that the Northern Hemisphere, and it gets dark quite late throughout the winter. So we have sometimes a problem with talis and tefillin, depending on what time you daven. So now, if you are only the earliest time to put on talis and tefillin is after Bochum. Does that ever happen downstairs in after Bochum? Yishtarach is the latest. Okay. So imagine you daven that little bit early that you can't even put it on then. Imagine you daven that little bit earlier, or you live that little bit more up north. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. So now, would you in theory, so you daven early, and now comes Pesukei Dezimra, you know, you still can't say, you can't put on talis and tefillin, comes, let's say, Yishtabach, Kaddish, Boch, you still can't put on, the earliest you can put on talis and tefillin will be during Shema. What do you do? Can you put on talis and tefillin during Shema? You don't want to go into Shema and Esther without talis and tefillin, because if that would happen, then obviously going to be nothing left of davening, you know, and then, you know, so you earliest you want to put it on. Well, very good, but let's say it's, you know, so, good question. What about the bocha? Very good. So Shulchan Aruch is telling us as follows. Yes, so that's the same, we're applying this halacha now, just not about forgetting, but just the sozman is. So, yes, you are allowed. Shulchan Aruch tells us you are allowed to put in talis and tefillin between the paragraphs. Furthermore, Shulchan Aruch says, make a bracha. Make a bracha. In the middle of Shema, between paragraphs, make a bracha. Says Rama, no. Why do you need to make a bracha now? What's the argument that you don't make a bracha now? What's the argument? And, yeah, true, and as well as, you're right, hefsek, but it's more than that. Exactly, absolutely. You could put on talis and tefillin now, you're fulfilling the mitzvah, and you say the bracha later. Not a problem, really. So, v'yesh oim shaloi levorech aleim, ad achat tefillis. No, put them on now. You're right, put them on now. Don't have to make a bracha now. Don't have to interrupt in speech. V'ach enog le'inyin talis. And he said, that's certainly the minhag with regards to talis. So he says that, no, you meant to put them on now, but you recite the bracha later.
Why le'inyin talis?
Yeah, he said that it looks like it was more common in terms of talis. Pardon?
Why can you make a bracha later? What's the spora?
Why can you? Because the bracha, both on tzitzis and talis, both the talis and tefillin, the bracha is, whilst it's on you, you can recite the bracha. So, whilst ideally, you make the bracha when you put them on, but b'di'evet, you can also say the bracha as long as it's still on you. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So, according to design, the betzitzis enuchav as gavra. This is because I'm skipping a few lines. Because the linyan abocha, but elvisha levado mutav lachat tefillin mashmash betzitz vevorech. He says you can, as long as you touch the talis and tefillin afterwards, you can make the bracha later. That's fine. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens, and that's I think what people do. What do people do? What do people do when they? If it's
do you have to readjust the tefillin?
Yeah, so you should, yeah.
Or just touching it?
No, touching is enough. Yimashmesh is enough. Yimashmesh is enough. Siv Gimel, lekadosh lekdusha v'lebochu mafsik afilu beemtza posuk. Going off the topic a little bit, for kadosh, kdusha, and bochu, mafsik afilu beemtza posuk, you have to interrupt the middle of a posuk, v'chein, you only say the word moedim. Question is, are you allowed to interrupt? What are you allowed to interrupt for in the middle of Shema? In other words, if you are saying Shema, and now there's a Kedusha taking place, there's a Kaddish taking place, what do you do? What do you do? You are saying Shema, and they are saying Kaddish. Do you answer Kaddish, yes or no?
Is Kaddish the same as the level of Kaddish?
That's the question. That is the question. So, what about Moedim? So he says, Lekadosh Kedushat V'Ochum Mafsik, you interrupt. Afilu Be'emtza Pasuk, even if you're in the middle of a Pasuk. Kadosh Kedushat V'Ochum, you do answer if you're in the middle of Shema. Even Moedim. But Moedim, all you do is you say the word Moedim. So that's what the halach is. Correct. Moedim. This is Moedim. Pardon? Correct.
You stop.
Yeah. Yeah, but you do it, you do stop, and that's what you say. Yeah. Why don't we say the rule of Oisig b'mitzvah potter on a mitzvah? It's not really the same mitzvah because Shema is one mitzvah. Kriyas Shema is a mitzvah independent of tefillah. So I'm not sure why Oisig b'mitzvah potter on a mitzvah. Why does the rule of Oisig b'mitzvah potter on a mitzvah? Why don't you say
Shema? Shema's derived from all things. Tefillah
is a machlokes. Maybe that's what it is.
That's generally tefillah.
I wonder if the point is that since there is a heter of interrupting, so it's a bit like you're saying, it's Efshele Kam Shneim. Not sure, it's a good question. See, if Dalet teaches us the following halacha, Kohen Shekia Kia Shema. What happens if a Kohen? A Kohen is saying Shema. And then suddenly they call him up. For Kiyasada, what do you do? Has it happened to you? Ever happened? You're made up saying Shema innocently, and then they say, Yamoit Gavil Yididya. Gavil Yididya? Pardon? Shmayo. Yeah, Hakoyen. Vekola Likos Batoire. And call for Torah. What do you do? What would you do? Give a guess. You get called up. You go up, Yesh mi sha'oima, Shema psik, some say interrupt Shema. You're called up, off you go. Say bochu, off you go. V'yesh mi sha'oima, some say no. She'eino mafsik, some say no, you're not allowed to interrupt. You do like this. Exactly, that's true as well. You can't do sign language, but I suppose. So if you know, right, so if he wants to stick to the locha, he ignores him. Yeah, and the other guy says, is he deaf? What's going on? Yeah. So we yesh mishoim she'en imafsik v'aloch ketvav. The aloch is, you do not. Said the Shulchan Aruch, you do not go up. However, things are never as simple as that. It's a machlokes and it remains a machlokes. But Shnevu says, if kon chavav v'aloch ketvav. V'achronim kos, achronim say, dekayoim noagin oilom kayesh oim kam. So now the minig is, You do go up. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. That's the minik. Ve'afilu koro Yisrael v'oime b'emtze ki Hashema. What about, this is all a koyen. No offense. That's all a koyen. But what about us normal, you know, humans? What happens if we get called up? Forget about koyen. Koyen sounds more radical. But what about if us normally Yisraelim? If you get called up. Yeah. So we say, if you're called up as Yisrael, you tell him to... You know, take somebody else. Yeah, but the Mishmur says, forget, no, never mind the Koyein, even Yisrael, if it's called up in the middle of Shema, you don't want to change now another, it's not so posh that you can change. If you're called up, you go up. If you're called up, you go up. So don't change now. If you've been called up, unfortunately, middle of Shema, up you go. You take that here. That's what he says. V'afilu b'kol Yisrael v'oim v'em tzakir Shema, af, although, denu chalasik Yisrael acher, yes, another Yisrael can be, you can get another Yisrael. You could in theory. Avul became nevertheless, Nergin, the custom mission of Sigmund the Kovat HaTorah. Do you remember, we learned yesterday briefly, Aloha, and for covered in respect, people that you respect and obviously you have to interrupt Shema for those. You say, well, it's true, when you respect somebody, you interrupt, but it's not, so even more so for the covered of the Torah. You know, the Torah is calling you up now. You're being literally called up to that level of the Torah. So that's very disrespectful in a way. If you don't think, you're saying Shema, okay, very good. But you're also being called up to the Torah. So even if you are Yisrael, there's alternative options out there, there's alternative. But you're called up, you take Daliyah.
That's why there's not the Shema Esrei.
Correct.
And the Shema is better.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You're saying, why is it that when it comes to Shema, we are applying this rule that covered that Torah comes, but if somebody's in the middle of Shemana Esseh, this rule wouldn't apply, and a person does not interrupt Shemana Esseh, he stays put. Yeah, but I think the question that you're asking is that why Taka? Why is Shemana Esseh on a lower level in Kiyas Shema? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there's an element, yeah. Although it's Kabbalah's Olam Malchus Shemayim, but to some extent, it's a good hour. So he said, if you can reach the end of the paragraph, you should do that. Otherwise, you go up either way. Covered Hatayah. Seif Hey, ve'elu ein bein aprokim. These are the between paragraphs. You got to know what are the between paragraphs. Bein bracha shoyin leshniyah, between the first bracha and the second bracha. Bein shniyah leshma, between the second bracha and shema. Bein shema levim shemaya, between the first paragraph of shema. Duvayim shemaya, that's the second paragraph. Bein vayim shemaya levayoyima, and the second paragraph to the third paragraph of vayoyima pashas tzitzis. Aval bein vayoyima lem es v'yatziv lo yafsik. But between vayoyima and emes v'yatziv, which is the end of the third paragraph, lo yafsik, do not interrupt whatever happens. Shelo yafsik ben Hashem le'emes. We've all noticed, of course, that at this point, so this is a between paragraph. This is one end of one paragraph. This is another paragraph. This is the end of a paragraph. This is another end of paragraph. And that's another end of paragraph. However, between here and here is not considered two separate paragraphs. And that's why, at this point over here, we never interrupt. We never stop over here. We don't want to interrupt here. Between the word Hashem and Emes, we will not interrupt. But here, after the word Emes, which really goes already to V'yatziv, here we'll have to interrupt, but it's like in the middle of a paragraph. And that's okay. In other words, what's going on over here is that what is this? Really, in principle, we should really stop over here after the word Elokeichem. Because that's the end, really, of the paragraph. But we don't want to do so. We don't want to stop at the word Elokeichem. So we add the word Emes, which is part of the next paragraph, which is not really part of Shema. I'm adding the word Emes over here. That means I've started now the next paragraph, and I've just literally said the first word of the next paragraph. So I'm in the middle of a paragraph. It's not really the end of a paragraph after the word Emes. But I just don't want to stop between Elokeichem Emes. So I'm adding the word Emes, and now I've entered the Emes V'yatzev paragraph, but as long as I don't stop over here between the two words. So that's the background of that. Shall have sick with Hashem Lemes. Alo yoim rani Hashem alokechem emes, v'oz, and then yafsik kedin v'em tza perek. Vim posak mipnei ayiro, mipnei akova, shulchanuch seivov. What happens if I've stopped and interrupted because of fear or because of respect? Ach sh'oma emes. After I reset the word emes, oy shesiyem kodim achazen v'sovach Hashem alokechem im emes, u'mamtin shiaschil achazen v'shem ha'imoy, if I've interrupted in the wrong place, for whatever the reason may have been, I don't have to go back. I stop there, but of course I'm not allowed to stop there, but if I did by mistake, I don't have to be choizam. Siv Zayin. Einoy oime omein acha gal Yisrael. Mishum dahave efsek. This is a bit of I can't say controversial issue, but a much discussed issue. What happens over here? In most shuls, gentlemen, what is the minhag in most shuls? We're up to end of Birkas Kriyas Shema. Okay, I fulfilled Mitzvahs Kriyas Shema. Now, great. There's other. Now I say to Israel, come over Israel. Baruch Hashem Tzvokah Shmoy. Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. Shmoy Ne'eseh. Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. Is that what people say? Chazan says Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. Quietly. People say quietly? Why does the chazan say quietly? Or may they not? Right. Now listen, Abu Isa. It's very interesting the way we are were brought up, because in principle, yeah, very good. So we are very much trained to this, and there's a good point for it, a good reason for it. But in principle, if you go slow, if you go back a little bit, what's wrong? Why are we saying this quiet? Because we don't want to say Amen. Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. If it's quiet, we don't say Amen. And let's say we would say it loud. They would say Amen. And what's bad with Amen? What's the issue of saying Amen? What's wrong with saying Amen? But if it's an Amen, then it's an Amen. It's a part of the bracha. In fact, look at Shulchan Aruch said. Sorry, look at Shulchan Aruch's words. We do this every day. So Shulchan Aruch says, this is an interruption. To say Amen is an interruption. Okay, says like you're saying, it's an interruption. Ramah says, V'esh omrim, the oinin omen. The Ramah says, no, what are you talking about? You say, omen. V'chenoy again, and that is the minik, says Ramah, that you say, omen, after Gal Yisrael. Acha shliach tzibur, after shliach tzibur. Aval im yispar levad, of course, if you're davening on your own, ein on omen, we don't say omen. We've got a machloek of here. The Sfardim, Shulchan Aruch says, you don't say omen. Hefsek. Ashkenazim do what? Say Gal Yisrael, and you say omen. And that Shulchan Aruch said that's the minhag. You see, we all know that the minhag nowadays is not what the Ramah says the minhag is, and I think most shuls what? Say quietly. That's definitely the minhag nowadays. Secretly, I want to share with you something. Says loud. Oh, very good. I want to explain what I strongly understand this. Besides the fact that the Ramah said that's what you should do, I also understand. I can really understand the background. There is some authorities who hold that you know there is halachos of a shliach tzibur, what he has to say loud. And if a shliach tzibur, imagine he's a shliach tzibur. He has to say, what if a shliach tzibur decides to say everything quietly? He's not doing his job, right? What if a shliach tzibur decides I'm saying bochu quietly? What if a shliach tzibur says I'm not saying kashbur? He's not, sack him. Sack him. Don't ask him to come down again because he's got obligations as a shliach tzibur. You know, you want your money's worth. A shliach tzibur has got obligations. And he's a shliach of the tzibur. So if there is a halacha that he has to say, the final boch Gal Yisrael is part of his requirements as well. Pashtos, he's a shliach tzibur. His boch has to be recited. According to Ramah, it should be said, and it should be said loud. So it makes a lot of sense that a person should do so. Nowadays, we are very much, you know, whatever is public chumras, everybody, you know, likes them, and it sounds a bit odd if this person says Gal Yisrael loud, you know, despite the fact that Ramah says that's what you should do. So it's quite common that people say it quietly nowadays. It would even look a bit odd if a person says it quietly. But in my opinion, it's really something which the Ramah says you should do, and it makes so much sense that a person should do, because it's a bracha that has to be said loud. So, but Lemaisa, the minhag has nowadays become very, very much in line with the Shulchan Aruch and unlike the Ramah. It's interesting because the Ramah even says, Noyagin lanois omen. The meaning is to say omen after the shliach tzibur. The minig say amen. It's even in Shtibel they don't say amen. Yeah, it says that's the minig. It's very hard to understand why this has become so. Yeah. Yeah. Very true point. Very true point. Yeah.
There's a kaddish just before Shmuel Ezra in Maariv.
Yeah, I know, but who says you're right and you have been trained to think that is considered interruption and therefore it's not semich gula tefillah. But it's part of the bracha. It's the bracha. Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. You're semich gula tefillah. Gal Yisrael. Why are you quiet about it? Why are you shy about it?
Why am I just so?
They say quietly? Yeah, I don't know why. Don't know why. Why? Because I don't know why. I don't know what the... Here it's not causing interruption. I say over there also not to cause interruption. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, to summarize, we learned this evening, we discussed the halachas of... if somebody forgets to put on talis and tefillin, he can do so between the paragraphs in Shema. In terms of the bracha, the Gemara says, you say the bracha later. Your person is allowed to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu in the middle of Shema, similarly the word Moedim as well. We learned about a Kohen who is being called up. He goes up according to the first opinion. He doesn't go up according to the second opinion. The Halacha is like the first opinion. So not only Kohen, also Yisrael. We also learned what the between the paragraphs are, and we discussed also Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Further, we learned that you don't say according to Shulchan Aruch, you don't say Amen after Gaalei Tefillah. According to Rama, you do say, and that, so says Rama, is the minhag. Having said this, I wish you a very good Shabbos.